Hello and welcome to the Ipsos Politic Talk podcast with me, Holly Day. Now, immigration has been a big part of the political agenda since the Brexit referendum in 2016, and also a growing issue in this current parliament with the Prime Minister's pledge to stop the boats and also pass his Rwanda bill. So with me to unpick public opinion on these issues and what role it might play in an upcoming general election this year are Kieran Pedley, Director of Politics here at Ipsos, and Sundar Katwala, Director of British Future. Hi, thanks for joining me both.
Hey, Holly.
Good to see you.
So before we dive into the topic at hand, I think it's probably important for us to have a little look at where we are politically. Context is obviously key in all of this. Kieran, what is the current public mood telling us at the moment?
So I think it's no surprise to anybody that obviously the Conservatives are in a bit of a state politically in the national opinion polls. So in February, Ipsos had a record-breaking low of 20 with the Tories on 20 points. So that's the lowest we've ever had the Conservatives going back to 1978. And our most recent Ipsos political poll that's coming out sort of as we're recording has 58% of the public unfavourable towards the Conservative Party, which is the highest this parliament. So we came back in the new year waiting to see if there were going to be any signs of a narrowing in the polls. That hasn't happened, and if anything, things are moving more in Labour's favour. On the topic today, I mean, immigration, obviously a huge hot topic in the last sort of few years, as you mentioned in your intro. In our Ipsos issue index, we tend to see immigration as around fourth in terms of the issues the public think are the most important facing the country. Although there is very much a big four, as I call it, in that regard, with the cost of living, the economy and the NHS. But what I think makes this a particularly strong issue politically for the Conservatives is that Conservative supporters tend to rank immigration top or around that number. And this creates a bit of an intense political discussion around what role immigration should play for the Conservatives, particularly as they try and win back some of that 2019 Conservative support that they've lost. So a bad spot for the Conservatives at the moment, and obviously one of the driving issues of that is the topic we're discussing today.
And the government don't seem to have a particularly good record at the moment on their handling of immigration, Sundar. I mean, we've been working in partnership on a big piece of work, our immigration attitudes tracker that's been running since 2015, tracking public opinion over time, and the numbers aren't looking particularly good for the Conservatives, are they, moving into a general election year, particularly on the level of trust in getting to grips with these issues?
We've got the highest level of dissatisfaction with government performance that we've seen at any point in this series, going back to 2015 and before the Brexit referendum. So that, you know, there are different drivers of the mistrust. There are the levels of immigration, there is the asylum and boats issue. There are also different reasons for the mistrust. People with more liberal views actually think the government's too harsh. People with quite tough views think they're not, you know, achieving anything in particular. So it's a very tough environment for the government because they're in charge, and everybody's unhappy with them about something.
And we do see as well, it's not just the Prime Minister that's suffering in his poll ratings on that. We also ask about other political individuals, including the current Home Secretary, James Cleverley, previous Home Secretary, who was obviously Suella Braverman. Their ratings are particularly low compared to Rishi Sunak on kind of trusting them to actually deal with the issue that is immigration, including all of those facets that you talk about, Sundar. It's interesting, though, that Keir Starmer comes out on top. It's worth saying coming out on top with 31% of people thinking that he would do a great deal or a fair amount to deal with this issue. So not an overwhelming majority by any stretch, but him and Nigel Farage sitting at the top of that list, I don't think it's surprising compared to some of the other polling that we've done, Kieran, but Labour are going to have a position on this at some point, aren't they, given, as I said in the intro, we're moving towards a general election year. What do you think their position could or should be as we move throughout the year, and what is it that they could possibly do to tackle this issue and get to grips with it in the minds of the public?
So I think 31% trusting you isn't a great number. I think that's Keir Starmer's number or thereabouts. But at the same time, in a first-past-the-post electoral system, you've always got to bear in mind that whilst this doesn't overlay with voters completely, if you can get 40% of the public to back you on a particular topic, then that's maybe not as bad as it sounds. I mean, Boris Johnson always used to have this, where he was quite a polarizing figure. Polarizing doesn't necessarily mean bad things in a in our electoral system. I think for Labour, there's two ways to look at this. I mean, in the run-up to the election, they're probably covered a fair bit by the fact that the Conservatives are just so unpopular and so distrusted even by their own side on immigration. So, you know, I imagine Labour won't want the whole campaign to be about it, but they'll feel like their perceived Tory incompetence, let's say, will get them through the day. Where I think that they may struggle, and perhaps we'll come on to this a bit later, I don't know, but it is in office, because as you rightly say, Labour aren't trusted. The majority don't trust Labour on a range of topics regarding immigration. Once you own the issue, and the Conservatives are sort of freed from the shackles of government and can say what they like, then it could become a very toxic issue for Labour very quickly, I think.
And migration is seen to have a positive impact on Britain. We've been tracking this in public perception over time. More think that migration has had a positive than a negative impact, although we have seen a bit of a change in the numbers here, haven't we, Sunder? And there are particular differences between people who voted Leave, Remain, between Conservative supporters and Labour supporters as well.
Yes, I think what this tracker shows us is that we've seen that long-term softening and warming and dipping of salience starting to reverse a bit, starting to harden a bit for different reasons, but now a big partisan split in who it's hardening with. So, you know, in a way, this election's quite different, I think, from the last election, you know, on different sides. The last election was about Brexit, and you might have really liked it or really hated it, and so on. Here, this isn't an immigration election for most people. It's the cost of living. There's an intense group who want it to be an immigration election. They're quite torn, really, because they tend to be dissatisfied Conservatives who are thinking about reform. So certainly the politics are much, much tougher for Rishi Sunak than for Keir Starmer, partly because of having, you know, office, but also partly where the heat and the pressure is. So Conservative voters twice as likely to say it's a priority here. It's up there in the top three. In this tracker, it's the 12th issue for Labour voters. So certainly you'll need to have answers on it in government, but you're just not under nearly so much pressure. Most people do trust somebody on immigration. All the parties are underwater, but you've got a quarter of people who like the Reform Party. You've also got a quarter of people who like the Liberal Democrats or the Green Party, and the Labour Party, you know, there with, you know, about a third, which means that most of Starmer's voters more trust than not trust. But he's got some challenges with his Liberal voters, who are wondering if he's conceding too much. He's definitely got challenges with the sceptical fringe of the Labour vote, who are more in the middle of the electorate than on the right of the electorate, whereas Sunak is just under much more pressure because on two issues, lower numbers stopping votes, the people who want to know about immigration, you know, just don't think the government has done it.
And I think just to cut in there briefly as well, that there is a bit of a a sense of Sunak not being able to win, really. So we'll have updated migration figures when we get them, of course, later this year. But he's never going to win an arms race with Reform UK on what the policy prospectus is at the next election, and particularly if Nigel Farage is going, you know, full throttle on, you know, Brexit being portrayed and all this sort of stuff. So it's a really, really difficult issue for the Conservatives at the next election, I agree. And to me, this is why they try and talk about things like tax a bit more. I mean, I know there's obviously an intense debate about this academically, politically, and so on, about what the best bet for the Conservatives is. But, you know, given the record that they've had and how angsty and dissatisfied their own supporters are, it's a tricky issue at the moment for them, I think.
And I think one of the issues they've got at the moment, and this is certainly coming out in the tracker that we're doing, is that there is a pattern for kind of overall support for reductions in cold hard numbers of people. This has risen since 2022. It's back up to the sort of levels we were seeing in 2019, but below the levels we were seeing around the EU referendum in 2015-16. I think there is an interesting debate here between kind of that desire for reductions, but also the desire for control, kind of regardless of the impact on the numbers, isn't there, Sunder?
Yes, and you know, the interesting context here is, I mean, the Conservatives could say outside of the asylum issue, they did deliver control and they delivered selections. We had this enormous change of the system to end free movement and have a point system, but they didn't deliver reductions. But that maybe is being overshadowed then by the fact that the thing that people are watching and caring about now, perhaps asylum, looks like no control at all. I mean, we've had more policy change, the end of free movement, big changes to the asylum system. We've had record rises in immigration, and now the government is saying they're giving us record cuts in immigration in the same parliament. So this roller coaster ride of policy. Yet the irony for the government is when the specific choices they make, even though they don't add up to reductions, fit the choices the public would make in this polling when we asked them about specific flows, but they also add up to a much bigger number, perhaps, than Conservative voters in particular would like to see.
That's kind of played out when we asked people about skills shortages. We saw a couple of years ago, following the pandemic, and for multiple reasons, that there were shortages in key sectors, and there were discussions within government and about policy as to whether some of those shortages should be addressed directly with specific visas and specific schemes. Actually, when we asked the public if they'd rather attract people to specific highly skilled jobs or to address shortages at all levels, addressing shortages at all levels wins that argument by 2-1, by quite a significant amount. A majority would prefer to address all skills shortages, regardless of the level. And as you said, Sundar, when we then ask about specific job roles, I mean, we see consistently in our polling that professions such as nursing, as doctors, as care home workers, even following the pandemic, there is support not just to maintain the level of numbers in those sectors, but to actually increase them. I think in our tracker, the only particular professions where people were more likely to say they would prefer a reduction are bankers, which has been kind of languishing at the bottom of that tracker for quite some time. And interestingly, students as well in this particular tracker. And students is an interesting one, isn't it? Because the extent to which they are or are not counted in numbers is debatable through different definitions. And the government has some specific policies targeted at them at the moment, don't they, in terms of international students. But then I think people are thinking about the impact that's going to have on local economies with university cities and kind of the money that some of those students bring in. Kieran, when we're looking at particular professions, what are your thoughts on the extent to which when the public are telling us that they like increases in some of these areas and reductions in some of these areas? How do you square that circle when that debate for kind of reductions versus control is still out there?
Well, I mean, some would argue you can't really square it. And this is part, or at least in the short term, and this is part of where, you know, public opinion can be led as well as followed. So what we've got is instinctively, I think, you know, the strength of feeling might change, the specific number might change, but you're always going to get a sizable, either minority or in some cases a majority of people wanting numbers to be reduced. Maybe not a sizable majority, but you're always going to get large numbers of people wanting immigration reduced or thinking it's too high. But then you've got to square that, as you say, with the needs of certain skills and certain professions. And I suppose what it would really, what you'd ideally have is a prime minister that stands up and says, right, this is the trade-off, this is what our plan is, this is what we're going to do in the future. I think that you're right to bring up students, because that to me feels like if we get our crystal ball out for the next parliament, that's going to be quite a significant issue, because when you tie it into the financial struggles that universities have at the moment, and the fact that I think ideally they'd like to raise domestic tuition fees, and you counterbalance that with obviously the number of international students that are being brought in to various places. There feels like there's going to be an issue that comes to a head in the next parliament, which isn't just strictly about immigration. It's about sort of, you know, higher education funding as well. But you can well imagine that, you know, a Starmer Reeves administration having to raise tuition fees or something, or having to come up with some kind of new funding settlement, being a pretty hot topic at the next election. But I think what it comes down to is, are politicians brave enough to sort of take on public opinion in some areas? That's not to say that immigration doesn't need to be reduced. I'm not stating an opinion on that. But where you've got these trade-offs that are seemingly completely intractable, then that's where political leadership comes in, I think.
I think the overall pattern of the findings is that with support for reductions going up, control is still trumping reduce. We've got just over half now, 52%, saying reduce the overall numbers. If we look at the 35% who say reduce it a lot, I think then we're looking at potentially the sincere reducers, but the others are selectors really. But even the sincere reducers are selective in what they reduce. And so it is 35 for reducing students. Most people wouldn't reduce students. The post-study graduate visa would certainly have to go if you wanted to cut the numbers, yet we find that supported as well. We get down to the things that are really driving the big numbers, which are the NHS and social care visas, and we're down to a very, very narrow group, 15% that are reducing there. So I think the politicians could lead, but actually they should try and help the public take some ownership, really, of what they want to choose. I think the reason for the gap, really, is that people think that the flows they like aren't that big because they like them. And they worry enormously about the flows that they don't like, such as, you know, uncontrolled asylum would be a flow they don't like. And so it doesn't occur to the public that in choosing to keep NHS care workers, students, post-study visas, they've just decided not to reduce. That isn't something I think they currently know.
And I think symbols are important with this as well. You know, I have a theory that one of the big reasons that stopping the boats has become such an emotive issue for certain groups of voters is because it's very visual. You know, it's not quite the same as, you know, videos of people jumping on the back of lorries and things. It's, you know, people sailing across an ocean, and, you know, and the image is very sort of evocative. And I think, like, if you were Labour trying to achieve, there's obviously a lot of things you'll try and achieve in your first term, assuming they get there. We shouldn't always assume that as much as the poll lead suggests it. One of the things you'd want to try and do is stop the boats, because frankly, if Labour was able to significantly reduce channel crossings and come up with a deal with France, let's say, that made that much less visible and reduce the numbers significantly, that would be a real problem for the Conservatives in opposition, I think, because then you really would have the competence argument. I think there are certain issues in politics, and we all know them, that each individual party is instinctively trusted on more than the other. In normal circumstances, we're probably not in normal circumstances on the immigration debate right now, but if Labour was able to show that they actually were able to reduce those crossings, then what the Conservatives have to say would become much, much harder for them, I think.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons the Conservative Party are particularly struggling at the moment is because they have made Rwanda their flagship policy. It's being debated in Parliament as we speak, being ping-ponged between the Houses, the House of Commons, the House of Parliament, amendments flying all over the place. When we do ask the public about this, more are supportive of kind of the principle of the Rwanda scheme when we present it to them than not. But it's interesting, Sundar, isn't it, when we get into the nitty-gritty of then asking them, okay, well, if you're in support of it, do you think it will genuinely kind of provide that deterrent that the government is telling us is the purpose of the policy? Do you think it's going to provide value for money to the taxpayer? And do you actually think, crucially, and we talk about this a lot on the podcast, don't we, Kieran, like, is there going to be action? Is there going to be a resulting flight off the ground by the end of 2024? And our numbers at this time don't seem to be positive on either of those three fronts, do they, Sundar?
No, I think the tracker explains why we have a very polarised political debate. In a way, it explains why the government is making an issue of Rwanda and asylum, but it also explains why it's been very challenging for them to make that work. The public are split, certainly just on whether they have sympathy or not for the people who cross in boats. Equally split, but two-thirds of Conservatives, not much or none. Two-thirds of Labour, quite a lot. Or vary. And then on that basic principle as well, is it the way you came that matters more than the strength of your claim, or is it the strength of your claim? You see a split by party. So the right would like to see this happen, the left are doubtful this is the right way to do it. And then there's a consensus across that of it's probably not going to happen, or won't be that much of a deterrent, or is it worth the money, or so on, which are about the practical issues. There's practical scepticism from people who'd like it and people who wouldn't like it. Even among the Conservatives, it's quite contingent, really, because half of Conservatives like the kind of scheme that is being proposed, which is that, you know, if you've come here without permission, we'd like to send you to Rwanda. That's how you can do it. And others are on the fence, really, and would like to see a distinction between genuine refugees and not. On the Labour side, it's much more that you would scrap or soften the scheme rather than use it. You might consider this kind of thing for failed claims, but you shouldn't be considering this kind of thing for genuine claims. So there's an underlying division on the principles, but a lack of credibility, I think, of a scheme that hasn't happened.
What we should probably bear in mind as well, though, again, trying to think forward to the next parliament, always difficult, is if Labour does scrap this, which is, I think they are committed to doing so, it'd be interesting to see what other European countries do, what their solutions are, and what happens with numbers and the sense of control for Labour. Because, you know, again, this policy or a variation of it may not go away just because Labour get in and scrap this particular one. It may be some variation of it is Conservatives commit to long term.
There's a big unknown there. I think if you could get a deal where you were taking broadly similar numbers through managed and legal routes that are coming through irregular routes, actually for Labour the pressure would be right off, even if Conservatives would think that you know they wanted to do more than that. If you had such a scheme, but you then had similar numbers arriving outside the scheme as within it, I think you'd then have a lot of heat and politics. So I think delivery will matter a lot to the level of heat and pressure on this issue.
Final thoughts on this then, as we move towards a general election at some point in the next 6 to 8 months or before that. All we know is May the 2nd has definitively been ruled out, so that gives us a bit more time anyway, doesn't it, Kieran? How much of an important part in kind of the campaign and in the election do we think that immigration is going to be? Given at the start, we mentioned where it sits in our issues index, but there are particular differences dependent on which party you support. How big a deal is immigration going to be moving towards the election?
Obviously, I think it obviously depends a lot on what the Conservatives want to base their campaign on. I suspect it will be a significant part of it. I'm not going to rank it in order of which particular issue, because I think Labour's campaign will be about 14 years of the Conservatives' time for change, you know, these sorts of things. And they'll probably want to talk about, if they've got any sense, the cost of living and public services and things like that, where they're naturally seen as stronger on by the public. If you've got reform, you've got Nigel Farage involved in some capacity, then there's only so far away this issue is going to be. And we have to wait to see what happens in the summer with Channel crossings specifically as well, don't we? Because if we do have a summer of a large number of crossings, then it's only going to be a significant story across that. And obviously the Conservatives will want to be able to say, and I've lost track of where we are with flights and things, but they'll want to be able to say that, if flights have taken off, we've got a plan and it's working and that sort of thing. So I do think it will be a significant factor. I just think that in terms of being a decisive factor, that's probably a different question, because I think trust in the Conservatives is so low on this issue at the moment. I think it's going to be a very difficult dividing line for them to have with Labour, even if, as I've said, I think, you know, a Labour government may struggle with this issue too.
I think if this is a time for a change election, it will be because there's a change of government from the voters that prioritised other issues, the economy, the NHS, along with the voters that didn't like the current government because it was too harsh. They will be the voters that deliver a change of government. The worst scenario for the Conservatives is that the people who don't care as much about the issue are changing the government for other reasons, and the people who do care about it are really divided between the Conservatives and Reform. At that point, the people for whom it is an immigration election could really affect the scale of a defeat of a governing party if they've lost on the economy swing voters to Labour, and they sort of lose a massive chunk of voters to Reform as well. Then it could really damage their prospects of, you know, having a close defeat versus facing a defeat on the scale of 1997.
Which I think, just very briefly to interject, sorry Holly, paradoxically is almost like the opposite of what 2019 was, where the Leave vote, if you want to call it that, pretty much united behind the Conservatives, whereas the Remain vote was kind of all this, those wanting another referendum was sort of disparately spread across several different progressive parties of different ilks across Britain. So maybe we've got the reverse coming this time.
As always, we'll have to wait and see. And that's all we've got time for today. So thanks very much, Sundar and Kieran, for joining me. Please do like, share and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. And we'll be back to look ahead to the local elections and what sort of impact they might be having in the coming weeks and months.